Welcome to Views from the Porch, a podcast where we explore what it looks like to survive and thrive in your young adult years. Each week, we talk about the biggest challenges facing young adults today and how to overcome them from God's Word based on our weekly experience in leading thousands of young adults at the porch. For more info on The Porch, visit theporch.live. Thank you for joining.
What's up, guys? This is David. We are back with another episode of Views from the Porch. I'm joined with the one and only Mrs. Elena Haas.
Hey, guys.
And you may have heard of him and when you listened to the Q&A that we did a few weeks ago, but J.D. Rogers in the house.
My homie.
What up?
That is right. J.D., what's J.D. stand for?
John David.
John David. Yes. You got a strong middle name, man. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Okay.
And so biblical. John and David. Hey, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, we are talking about all that's going on in Kanye's recent found faith and a bigger conversation about kind of the whole thing of celebrities converting to Christianity.
Mm-hmm. Kanye.
And Jesus is King, the new album drop.
Mm-hmm. He dropped a new album. Really?
David, you can't. David.
No.
Come on, dude. Life like, this is what your life like.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this guy's singing it in the shower, in the car. Hey, he is getting it.
It's got some good beats. I will say this. It is an album that grows on you the more and more that you listen to.
Definitely.
First time I listened to it, I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. And the more that I've listened to it, you're like, dude, that is theologically accurate.
Yeah.
No matter what is going on.
Elena, what's your favorite song?
Right now, so it changes. Right now it's Selah and God Is are probably my top two.
Yeah, those are good ones. I really like Water.
Water's
strong. I love Water.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. I'll probably get there in a couple days.
But needless to say, the album for me is a huge success. Props to Kanye. Love his work.
Dude, it's crazy. I mean, I'm like, whatever is going on, God is getting the glory. Or he's getting some glory from it because people, I mean, I think you sent me somebody a note, somebody had written of like, man, a mom had written a note saying, basically, my son, I'm just thankful he came to church because he heard that album, that Kanye, and God is doing something. And to have somebody that with the cultural significance, Kanye is controversial. And the challenge within a podcast like this, so we'll talk about it. We'll talk about a little bit of the album for the next 20 minutes. And then just kind of bigger picture things as Christians, because there's a lot of divisive language being used and a lot of things that don't seem to align with God's word coming from in the church and outside of the church, but mainly from in the church is a bigger concern of ours. But regardless of what is going on and what you think about Kanye, he's clearly had some influence in his life that has led to some sort of change in his own personal world.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics, dude, are spot on. I haven't looked at every single lyric in depth, but I haven't... I haven't come across one that I'm like, that's
all. Yeah. Like he's straight up quoting scripture and then referencing it. So if someone like looks up John 8:33 or John 8:36, like he's getting the message out there. Unbelievers are listening to this. You know that there's people out there listening to it and they are hearing scripture. So that's a win in general.
Yeah. And to kind of get things going with the bigger conversation, David, I've seen a lot online on different social media platforms of it first started with like, man, do we think this is real? Christians asking and posing the questions of like, is this real or is this a fad or is this just another publicity stunt? What's going on in Kanye's life? Well, then that then angered other Christians. And now Christians are kind of being divisive amongst one another.
Yeah.
And
I would say like Christians are now using this as an opportunity to share their thoughts and their perspective. And now it looks like Christians are just trying to like secretly backhand each other.
Yeah.
And if I'm a lost person, I'm sitting back reading these, eating popcorn, going, this is exactly why I don't get mixed in with these crazies. Because, I mean, someone is proclaiming to be one of them, and it's just causing strife all over in the media.
Yeah.
And so what's the point? And so the first question I kind of have for you is, what does the Bible actually say and how we should respond to someone coming to the faith, coming to place their life and fully surrender and follow Jesus?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons it's controversial as I perceive it, and again, you guys probably have watched it closer, as I have leaned in a little bit, I will say, hey, I watched the movie. So the Kanye West, Jesus is King movie.
So
what's your review on that, David?
I'm not going to give my, I'll give my review. It was great. Super artsy. If you're really artsy, you know who you are. You're going to love it. But for people who like a plot and to spend $20 on something that like feels like a movie.
What movie theater are you at?
IMAX, dude.
Dang.
North Park. I know. Yeezy goes big. Either way, I would say here would be how you think about something like this, I think. Or let me just first say, I think Kanye is controversial for a couple of reasons. One, there's a political aspect that people have anger at or energy towards. that is something is going on there. So I don't even think we need to talk about that or really focus on that. But I do want to at least bring up, like, there could be people who are thrown out. They're just charged up in the conversation because of some of the political stuff that has happened in the last year or two with Kanye and MAGA and all that different stuff. But regardless, if he is trusted in Christ and is a Christian, it's not my judge. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, you'll know them by your fruits. And it's not my job to judge them on anything other than is their fruit living in line with what they're saying. God judges a tree by its roots. He knows if it's his tree or if it's not. It's not my job to judge whether or not someone is saved. It's my job to call them to live in line if they claim to be a Christian with God's word. And as best that I can see in some of the interview stuff and some of the stuff that I've just seen put out there, dude, I'm encouraged. It seems like Kanye is legit. And we know in Luke 15, we were talking about it before we hit record. If that's true, there was more rejoicing in heaven over Kanye trusting in Jesus than over all the church attendance in all of American history that has taken place. Mm-hmm. That God rejoices, Luke 15 tells us, over one sinner who returns to him. There's more rejoicing. There's a party going on in heaven. And how tragic and silly and ridiculous. If he's trusted in Christ, and he says he has, and he seems to be saying some things and orienting his life in a new way that reflects that, dude, why would any of us throw shade or be concerned and come at it like, well, you better prove it or anything? None of us had to prove ourselves before God accepted us into the family and before the church accepted into. So all that to say, it seems incredible what I see going on, and I'm encouraged, and I don't know what God is doing. And I think praying for Kanye and being devoted to, man, I hope that God protects his faith. I hope it's real. I hope God protects it and he grows it and surrounds him with godly counselors. Because now every Christian charlatan in the world is also going to be reaching out, being like, hey, man, will you write in my book or come do this thing?
Yeah.
And just protect him with people who love God and love God's word and walk with him. But I don't know. What do y'all think?
Yeah. I mean, it seems crazy, too, because it seems like God's doing something in Hollywood and celebrities in general. Like, it's not just Kanye who's recently come out and, you know, proclaimed his faith. It's like we're Justin Bieber, you know, same kind of thing. And then we had Demi Lovato recently get baptized in the Jordan River, and people are coming out, these celebrities who have lived very worldly, cultural, like, lifestyles that God is now pulling out and saying, you know, they've had all these things and there's still something missing. And Jesus is the thing that's been missing. People saying that, it just is a huge impact on people because, you know, they've been there. So I think there's something even bigger than just Kanye going on. Like, God is doing something there.
Mm-hmm. And I look at Kanye, one of his songs, he just talks about, he says, I'm finna do a gospel album. What have you been hearing from the Christians? They'll be the first ones to judge me, make it feel like nobody loves me. And when I, you know, he's writing that, and I'm going, man, like, shame on us if that's true. If that's the response he's gotten to, like, man, I want to change my ways. I want to write about Jesus. I want to let the world know that God saved me. And he's saying that people are going, you know, prove it.
Yeah.
Show me. And it's like, I feel alone now. I feel like even I'm not worthy of the love of God. And if that's true, man, we're not doing our job. I would go, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's impossible to not rejoice at what Kanye's been saying and what Jesus has been doing in his heart.
Yeah.
If you call yourself a born-again believer.
Or at least reflect something like really messed up that you need to surrender to the Lord. If there isn't anything other than, man, I hope so. And man, what is God doing all throughout the Bible? He takes people. What's crazy is the response. If Jesus was on the planet, like, let's say Kanye is it's true. If Jesus was here and he interacted with him, the response of so many Christians is like the response of the Pharisees to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, where they were like, unbelievable. I can't believe this guy, Zacchaeus, who is a tax collector, a thug, had just done a ton of stuff. He'd run the game in the wrong direction for his whole life, trust in Jesus. And he's like, man, I'm changing everything. And people who claim to be followers of Christ and Pharisees, religious leaders, stood outside and were like, this is so messed up. That can't actually be true. Yeah, wait and see. He's got to prove it. That's not the type of God, a guy that God wants. And it just is such a, ironically, you're the Pharisee if you're having that response. You're the person that Jesus stands over and over against in the New Testament, at least that posture. So, but dude, it's encouraging to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all like experienced, there's something that ministered to me about seeing that interview he did with, was it Apple?
Mm-hmm. He did a lot of interviews, but yeah, he did a 2-hour one with Apple.
This whoever that bald dude who's British, You know what I'm talking about? Like Beats?
Yeah, in the interview, yeah.
Yeah. And some of the stuff he said in there, I was like, bro, this... I went from going, Kanye is a little crazy. Who knows what's going on? He claims to follow Jesus. Tomorrow he may claim to be Jesus. To listening to that, and I was like, dude, this guy is saying some very scripturally sound things. He's quoting from Bible. He's talking authentically. He even seems different in yeah. interviews with like Kimmel and James Corden. James Corden?
Yeah.
Corden. And
The thing I really appreciate, I watched that interview too, it was awesome, but the thing I really appreciate about that interview is Kanye is saying, you know, he was asked when he got saved and he was saying, you know, he got saved around April, so not that long. And what's awesome about that is I think, so what happened with me in my life is I grew up around people that would do whatever they want, didn't paid no attention to what God said, the Bible, anything, call themselves a Christian. And then I grew up thinking that that was completely normal. Like to be a Christian, it's you just accept that Jesus is your savior and then you go about living your life however you want. And what I love about Kanye saying, like he's a recent convert, is it's just acknowledging like, hey, there's been a change in my life. I don't say that you being a Christian looks like, or following Jesus does not look like what I've been doing my whole life. That's not following Jesus. There's something different that's happening here. And I really appreciate that because that is what kind of made me get in the mindset my whole life. Growing up, I thought I was a Christian, and it wasn't until I really understood the gospel and understood that I was not a Christian that I could fully surrender my life to Jesus, because that was just what I thought Christianity was you accept Jesus, you do whatever you want. That's it.
Okay, here's a couple things. Like, I think practically, at least for Christians, as we think through this, over and over, the Bible shows us interactions Jesus has where he changes people and the crowds and societies. Like, that's nuts. That can't actually be real. Matthew, the guy who wrote the book of Matthew, was a tax collector. That Jesus shows up and he says, I want you to follow me. A tax collector at that time, if you've listened to The Porch, was just a guy who had betrayed society. He was a pimp of the day. He was somebody everyone would have been an outcast. You clearly have no religious faith. You're ruining other people's lives. God would want nothing to do with you. Jesus shows up, finds one of them and says, I want you to be in my closest circle of friends. Come and follow me. I haven't given up on you just like God hasn't. Zacchaeus, we just said that. Paul to Saul, or Saul, who was leading in the Christian movement, he gets saved, and people, like they're skeptical of Kanye, are skeptical over and over. So if you have the posture of like, man, how could God do that? You have a posture that puts you in line with a very dangerous crowd that is not a positive one, called the Pharisees, people that God opposed because of their pride. Number two, all of us should be committed anytime something like this happens to not throwing stones, but going, how can I pray for this person? God, protect that faith if it's real. If it's not, would you save him? You should be concerned more praying for your president, praying for Senate leaders, praying for all people. Like if you have somebody that you're harboring that you don't even have a relationship with, you just kind of see what is thrown out there, your heart should break for them and pray for them. So that would be number two. And then number three, not getting so lost up in just all the conversation and all the mess and everything that's going on. Make sure that you devote to your following of Jesus. I hope that Kanye is. And when I think about him, I should pray for him and be encouraged by what is being put out there and double down on like, God, I want to be surrendered and committed to him. But those would be some like practical things to just hold on to. So pray for it, focus on your own walk. And if you have a perspective or posture that is prideful or how could God, you should be concerned. Mm-hmm. Anything y'all would add?
Well, I want to ask, you know, so now Kanye has a lot of choices to make.
Yeah.
Because his life was influenced by when he was living in a secular lifestyle, he made a lot of decisions that impacted his future. The things he's a part of, where he has influence, the people that he has that are in his community may not be on the same spiritual journey that he is on. And so, you know, I would want to know, does Kanye now have to forsake the life that he's pursued? Does he have to step down from kind of this celebrity status? Does he have to abandon all these circles that he's been a part of for so long? If he's taking this thing serious, because he's put himself in some crazy, you know, crowds. And so I think some people might be wondering, like, well, he's still doing this, or he's still hanging out with so-and-so, or he's still in these different worlds. You know, look.
Yeah.
What would you say to that?
I would say that it's the call on every believer's life to pick up their cross and come and follow him and die. And Jesus says that in Mark chapter 9, that everyone pick up your cross, come and follow me, die. So there are ways that, yeah, to follow Jesus. Now we surrender and we follow him with our life and we die to our own preferences in life. If you're saying, I think what people sometimes mean is you can't actually be a Christian and a celebrity and have like all this influence and success and a big house. Like you can't actually do that, which is weird because basically people almost put it like, you know, Jesus said, hey, what does it profit a man if he forfeits, if he gains the whole world, but he forfeits his soul? He didn't say, what does it profit a man if he had already gained the whole world and then he gained his soul? He says something different. In other words, they're not exclusive things.
Right.
King Solomon, you know, a guy that God used to write the Bible, had more wealth and more influence than anybody in his day. In Philippians chapter 1, this was so cool. There's a moment where Paul says, hey, you need to know that your prayers, Paul's writing Philippians chapter 1, and your prayers have been effective, and that all throughout the imperial guard, the leadership of the emperor's guard is coming to trust Jesus. Later, the way that the entire Roman Empire, which is the place Christianity got birthed, got turned over, is Constantine. The guy at the very head of it, somehow, somebody shared his faith with Constantine, and Constantine trusted in Jesus, and he said, you know what? We're changing all of culture. I think, to your point, Elena, one of the ways that God may be at work is he's going to do what there's no longer a king like Constantine, an emperor, that you change the heart of that guy, and all of a sudden, now everyone has to be a Christian, which doesn't work anyways. But one of the ways that God can do that in our day is by taking the 30 Constantines that kind of make up cultural influencers and directional leaders like Kanye, like Bieber, like Taylor Swift, like I'm trying to think of like other
celebrities.
People. Celebrities would be at like the height of cultural influence and all that stuff.
Right.
And he's going to curve the tide by doing that. So
I mean, look at the cultural influence of just Kanye and his family, the Kardashians, right. Even like look at that. And what I love about the fact that God is using someone like Kanye was someone who just in previous songs was calling himself God, was being known and referred to as Jesus, and was saying that there is no one like me, I'm the top dog, and now he's writing a song saying this is who God is, I'm a nobody.
Yeah.
And that's just, what an amazing move, and how cool to see how God works to take that person and to say, there will be no one greater than me, I am God, Kanye.
He quotes about Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, I mean, this is crazy, dude, that Kanye West is reading his Bible and knows the story of Nebuchadnezzar, which is a king of Babylon, who was a king that went crazy, that basically said, I'm God. And God said, you want to be God? All right, I'm going to let you lose your mind for 3 years. And then when you humble yourself, it'll be restored. And he has a relationship with God. A lot of people believe, or rabbinical teachings have. So basically this king said, I'm God. This is in the Bible. And he lost his mind for it. And then God shortly thereafter restored him when he humbled himself. And Kanye says, I had a Nebuchadnezzar moment where I thought I was God. And it literally, I went crazy. And God, through humility and getting a hold of my heart, saved me. And I mean, that's crazy. The fact that the number one streaming song on Spotify is Follow God right now.
Yeah.
Should make every Christian
praise
be like,
God.
There's a W on the board.
Yeah. And JD, to your question, like, so what is basically saying, like, what does Kanye do now? Does he have to forsake everything he did before, leave his world? What I loved in one of the interviews I heard was he was saying how, like with this album, when people were making Jesus as King, not everyone who was working on that album were Christians. And he got to influence those people making his album because he asked some of them, hey, will you fast while you're making this album? And he said, I'm going to say something crazy. I asked them to stop having premarital sex while they were making this album. And that really hit me because I'm like, dude, people working for him, people helping him with that album, they are being influenced by Kanye, and they are, it was just amazing that he did that. And then also he was mentioning how, like with Yeezy, with his fashion line, his clothing company, he mentioned like, oh yeah, like the shoes, for instance, they could all be named Bible verses, like John 3:16. And it was like, you don't have to leave that world you're in. He has so he can be an artist. He was calling himself Christian innovator, which I think is amazing. You can be a Christian innovator, be an artist, be a fashion guru, fashion designer, and you do everything for Christ and stay exactly where you are and influence people.
Yeah.
I think it just goes back to everyone as a believer. We have to decide if we can do that or not. So it depends. For instance, like, can we, if you used to struggle with alcohol, can you go to bars? Maybe not right now, maybe not in the very beginning, but maybe in a couple years after you have a stronger foundation of your faith, maybe you can go into a bar and it just depends. So I think that's a question like he's going to have to sort out, but he should definitely do what I think he's already doing, which is influencing people where he's at.
Yeah. And I get it. I remember when I woke up to the reality of what it meant to fully surrender your life to Jesus and to really recognize what Jesus had done for me and then what that produced to me. I wanted everyone to know. And I wanted the people, the people I wanted to know the most were the people that I knew were asleep still.
Yeah.
And I loved what Kanye, in the video that everyone's talking about and showing right now is the airplane karaoke with James Corden. And James asked him, hey, for all the skeptics, for all the people asking, is this real? Because they knew your previous lifestyle, what would you say to them? And he said, you know, if someone was asleep and then they were awake, would you question if they were awake? No, you would look at them and you would know that they were awake. In the same way, I was asleep. He says, I was dead, but I had a spiritual awakening. So the question isn't even there. I am awake. I am alive. I am new. And I just love that because it's so true. Like, you wouldn't ask a person who is asleep if they're awake. You wouldn't ask a person who's awake if they're asleep.
Totally.
And he's going, I'm awake. You need to recognize it. I'm real, recognize real. I'm awake.
Straight out of Ephesians, man. It's Ephesians 2, that you were dead in your sins before Christ made you alive. And Ephesians chapter 5, awake, O sleeper, Ephesians chapter 4. And dude, there's a lot to celebrate. And as Christians, we should be quick to pray. I know that there's also a political issue that people get there, that get sideways over. And man, I would let that drive you to praying for God to have, or for him, if Kanye, if he is a believer, for him to have clarity there. And for God to bring clarity and like, what does it look like to, as a Christian, to engage in politics, be sensitive to a lot of the different issues that are facing different groups in society today. But at the same time, how exciting if God is just continuing to work and grab a hold of people's hearts. So God, save Kanye if he isn't. Seems like he is. So grow that faith, strengthen his marriage, and make him love Jesus and like Jesus and make us all more like you. Amen, man. Anything else you guys have?
Yeah, the last thing I want to say is my favorite parts of all the interviews that we're all watching have been when Kanye is clearly recognizing the error of his ways. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how, man, every decision I made was influenced by the time that I looked at pornography when I was 5 years
That's
old.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Which means that he is being, someone is discipling that man, or he is figuring things out. He is getting, it's like, you don't just go to a root like that on your own. Someone is feeding you spiritual milk and it's coming, it's becoming meat to you. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen interviews of him asking Kim to think about the way she dresses out in public. I've seen him talk about when he brought Hennessy on stage to accept his award, or how he's the creative director for the Porn Awards, these different things where he's recognizing and he says, you know what? I was a slave to the enemy, but now I'm a slave to Jesus because Jesus is king of my life.
Man, dude. Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, one, celebrate, pray for Kanye, pray that he be discipled and he would be discipled through biblical theology and would really come to grow and have an abiding relationship with Jesus for the rest of his days. And it would influence his kids and their kids. But then the next thing I would say is praise God for your own salvation.
Yeah.
Let what's happening in Kanye's life awaken you to the reality that a holy God saved you in your sin and in your rebellion and called you to be his child.
Yeah.
That's the last thing.
Yeah, I think everything I've seen on Kanye has really been so encouraging and inspiring, and like really has lit another excitement in me of like, we need to keep innovating for Christianity, for church, for how we're thinking about all this stuff, because we need to impact people that's relevant to them today. And that's what I feel like Kanye is doing with some of the stuff that he's doing, is he is keeping people in mind that really aren't being reached, like with his Sunday services and things like that. And how can we do that here at The Porch? How can we do that at Watermark Community Church, our church? And like, how can we keep moving forward the gospel in ways that are creative? Because Jesus is creative. God is creative. Like, that's part of Christianity.
Totally. And as he said, that we've said before, this was crazy that he used language we've used before, which is there was a day where the epicenter of culture and creativity was the church, and it shifted. Right. You know, Michelangelo, Da Vinci, all of those things were commissioned by and done by Christians that totally got shifted away, and how he wants to bring that back. The last thing that that, dude, you have those moments where it's like, man, that ministers to me in a weird way. Mm-hmm. It was on the James Corden at the end of it. I just watched it with you. I haven't seen that interview. But he redid the Jesus Walks lyrics. Mm-hmm. And that we are here to turn atheists into believers. And I haven't talked to God in so long and I'm not afraid. Or how does it end?
Yeah, it just says, I'm going to talk to God and I'm not afraid.
I'm going to talk to God. I'm not afraid.
And it used to say, I want to talk to God, but I'm afraid because we ain't spoken so long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not true anymore.
Just so strong, man.
Let's go. Jesus is king.
Let's go. Jesus is king.
Regardless, Jesus is king. And that is it for me and for us. We will see you next week on another episode of Views from the Porch.
We want to thank you for listening to Views from the Porch. For more information about The Porch Ministry, visit us at theporch.live or follow us on social media at The Porch.